Thank you.
Recording has started.
Excellent. All right. Thank you all so much for joining in what we slotted to be a 1 hour meeting, but may be much more brief than that, depending on questions. But I encourage those as is necessary. I hope you're all well. I hope you are all able to access, if requested, vaccines. I'm so glad to see all your smiling faces, and I only say that because, like, I hope to be at a Major League Baseball game before the end of the season. My goal is to have this team meet before the end of the year, and I'm hopeful we can do that. With that being said, Brandy, do we have, let's see here, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do. Please unmute yourself prior to talking. I think we all know the rules. We have some minutes to approve, which I think demonstrate the work we've been doing over the past few months. And I'm just going to ask that we consider those minutes together, the minutes of January 12th, January 21st, and January 28th for prior meetings and actions by email. Is there a motion to approve the 3 minutes as a group?
So moved, Yamasaki.
Gabe
David, thank you.
seconds.
Judge Gabe, thank you. It's been moved and seconded that the 3 separate meeting minutes be approved. Any opposition? Hearing no opposition, I'll deem the minutes of each of those 3 meetings approved. Brandy, did we see receive any public comment?
We did not, and if you don't mind,
We should probably take roll, huh? See what happens when we're not all in the room together, and somebody can't throw a note to me. I'm sorry, Brandy. I appreciate that. Go ahead and take. Could you take roll?
Absolutely. Judge Conklin?
I'm pretty sure I'm here.
Ms. Fleming?
I'm here.
Judge Buckley?
Here.
Judge Cope?
Here.
Judge Fannin?
Here.
Judge Gabe?
Here.
Judge Heinrichs?
Here.
Judge Kelly?
Here.
Judge Marginis? Judge Ryan? Got word she may be late. Judge Thompson? Ms. Bartleson? Ms. Carter? Spoke to her a moment ago. Well,
No, I'm here. I'm sorry. I unmuted myself. Thank you.
Thanks, Jerry. Ms. Eberhardt?
Here.
Mr. Finke?
Here.
Mr. Landry?
Here.
Mr. Planet?
I received a note from Mike that he had a court meeting that he could not reschedule.
Thank you, Judge. Mr. Rule?
Here.
Mr. Taniguchi?
Here.
Mr. Taylor?
Here.
Ms. Turner? Mr. Yamasaki?
Yes, here.
And advisory members of Mr. Wardlaw?
Yes, here.
Thank you. And Ms. Mueller? Ms.
I saw her.
Here, please.
There she is.
I'm here. Thank you. How to get that mic on.
Okay, Judge Conklin, it's yours again.
Great. Thanks for catching us up. And we already had a quorum, so those minutes I will show continue to be passed and approved. Additionally, Brandy, was there any written public comment?
No, Judge, there was not.
Okay, great. So we are proceeding pursuant to Zoom rules with public comment. There obviously can't be any in person, but we always welcome written public comment, which we did not receive any today. So we'll move right to our first discussion item, which is a workload formula adjustment request. That item is set forth in your materials at page one of the specific item itself. I would note and once again thank all the members of FMS that have worked so hard on all these issues. Judge Buckley and Rebecca Fleming are with us and would obviously invite you after Kristen gives her comments for anything you want to add. Kristen, I saw that you are with us. Take it over. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge. Thank you. Good afternoon. So this is a report on the adjustment request proposals submitted this year. So in January of this year, two identical adjustment request proposals were submitted by Humboldt and Siskiyou Superior Courts seeking to modify the Bureau of Labor Statistics factor that's used in the workload formula, specifically seeking to establish a BLS floor. And just as a refresher, the BLS factor acts as a cost of labor index in the workload formula. It's used to adjust salary as well as salary-driven benefits for each county based on the cost of government employee labor in each county. So it's primarily local, but we also use state government if certain criteria are met. The requests seek to establish a BLS floor of 0.95 for fiscal year 21-22, so this current allocation period. So for example, if a cluster 2 court had a BLS factor below 0.95, the BLS would be adjusted upward to 0.95, and the request also includes cluster 1 courts as well. For fiscal year 22-23, the request seeks a floor of 1.0, similar to the 0.95 floor adjustment. If a court has a BLS factor below 1, the request is to adjust the BLS factor upward to 1.0. These requests were referred to the Funding Methodology Subcommittee for review and recommendation, and the ARPs were discussed at FMS's February 18th meeting of this year. So the discussion at that time focused on previous findings reviewed by FMS, which found that although some courts in Cluster 2 do tend to have a lower BLS compared to courts in larger clusters, Cluster 2 does not seem to be at a funding disadvantage compared to other clusters in terms of the cluster systematically as a whole. The other discussion point was that creating a BLS floor may negate the function of adding a cost of labor index to the model, to the workload formula more generally. The previous recommendation was that no change be made to the workload formula related to Cluster 2 courts and BLS. However, the subcommittee did vote at that time to include a review of cluster methodology in its ongoing work plan. That recommendation was shared with TCBAC in June 2020 as an informational item, and the FMS work plan to include cluster methodology review was approved by TCBAC in July of that same year in 2020. So that concludes the summary of that report. I can open it up for questions and discussions or read the recommendation.
And Judge Buckley and Rebecca, is there anything you wanted to add to that?
No, I think Kristen captured it well.
Agreed. Nothing from me.
All right. Any questions concerning this item? The recommendation itself is set forth at page 2. So again, I'm just emphasizing what Kristen said. It would be to deny the request, but also to maintain in the work plan a review of the cluster methodology for the workload formula. So they would keep an eye on it, so to speak. Any questions of Kristen or any member at all? I've paused, I've waited, hearing none. Is there a motion concerning the recommendation set forth in item 1 report?
Judge Conklin, this is David Yamasaki. I would move approval of the recommendation contained in the report.
This is Judge Ryan. I would second that.
Great. Thank you both. It's been moved and seconded that the recommendation as set forth be approved as worded. Any further discussion on this recommendation, on this motion? Paused. I've waited. I hear no further discussion. Therefore, is there any objection to the motion to approve the recommendation as noted?
Judge Conklin, this is Judge Heinrichs. I would just abstain.
Understood. That understood. Judge Heinrichs will show Judge Heinrichs is abstaining. Anything else? So we'll show the motion has approved unanimously with one abstention from Judge Heinrichs. Thank you all so very much for your consideration of that. I make this comment quite often, but I'm just going to repeat it. If anybody's listening in from the public, please don't mistake brevity of these issues with lack of concern or attention. The members of this committee are veterans. They've reviewed the material. This is not a new issue to us. It's an important issue, but I don't want anybody to think we're just being dismissive of it by the brevity of the discussion. With that, we're going to move to item 2. We've got Cottrell with us. This is a consideration of recommendation again from FMS on the 2020-2021 allocation and one-time allocation methodology for the ongoing workload-based methodology related to the court interpreters program funding methodology. Cottrell, there you are. As always, thanks so much. Go ahead. Thanks.
Sure. As Judge Conklin mentioned, item 2 of today's agenda is the consideration of a recommendation from the Funding Methodology Subcommittee related to unspent court interpreter program allocated funding. A court interpreter allocation methodology for 21-22 and additional membership changes changes to the Ad Hoc Interpreter Subcommittee. As I'm sure a lot of you recall, at its September 25th, 2020 business meeting, the Judicial Council approved TICBAC's recommendation for a one-time allocation methodology for 21-22, not to exceed the 2020-2021 appropriation of roughly $131 million. This past February, the FMS considered recommendations from the Ad Hoc Interpreter Subcommittee and discussed options to develop a more equitable methodology, a plan for unspent funding from CIP allocations in the current year, and continuing the current methodology into 21-22 and expanding the Ad Hoc Subcommittee to add additional members. Now, based on Ad Hoc and FMS member discussions, it was determined that additional data points beyond CIDCS or the Court Interpreter Data Collection System would be necessary, and that additional time and information and input are needed to develop that ongoing and equitable workload-based allocation methodology for future implementation. Given these facts in evaluating the current year allocation methodology in which courts are still operating under pandemic protocols, the FMS has three recommendations that is putting forward to TICBAC today for consideration. Recommendation one is that courts will return all unspent 2021 CIP allocated funds to the Judicial Council. Those funds will first reimburse courts with CIP shortfalls in 2021, and the remaining funds will revert back to the TCTF as restricted program funding. Item two within this recommendation is to allocate in 21-22 the same amount of funding provided to trial courts in 2021. And the last item is to expand the number of Ad Hoc Interpreter Subcommittee members, which would be continued as a subset of the TICBAC, and from there members would be determined after TICBAC's consideration and approval of this general recommendation today. These recommendations, assuming they're approved by TICBAC today, will be considered by the Judicial Council at its May 20 and 21st business meeting. I know I just went over a lot, but that is the overall summary of this report and recommendation. And Judge Conklin, I'll open it up for any discussion, questions, or comments.
Patrol, thank you. And I'd also invite any member at the meeting right now, any member of the Ad Hoc Subcommittee, if they want to add anything to this discussion. I see Nancy's hand is up. Nancy, go ahead.
I actually had a question after anyone from FMS has any additional comments. Thank you, Judge Conklin.
You bet. David, were you making a comment? I think I see you speaking, but I can't hear you.
I was speaking to myself. How do I raise my hand?
Well, we can
I'm
hear
trying
you.
To understand all of the different technologies because it's all located in different locations. So one of the things that I was a member of the subcommittee, and if I could just speak to this particular activity, very clearly, we entered the year with a pretty significant problem in the sense that we were not anticipating having sufficient funding to cover the expenses that we have incurred in years past. And the approach that was taken this past budget year was to make sure that we operated within budget. Obviously, the pandemic had placed a lot of nuances to how courts were approaching it. And that in turn influenced greatly the decision or the recommendation that was made for us to proceed next year with a similar recommended allocation to all of the courts. And one of the reasons for having that information was to give everybody a good understanding of what their target should be going into next year. Obviously, courts are going to start resuming business, I think, to a much greater extent than they have thus far because of the restrictions due to the pandemic. And I think that giving everybody a good sense of what their target should be and services, et cetera, should really be a helpful tool for budgeting and planning. The other thing is very clearly the decision that was made to scale things back in terms of the budget was done out of economics, and we needed to make sure that we had the appropriate fiscal decisions to make sure everything's budgeted correctly was really a key part of that. But also recognizing that many courts have been spending more in the area of the budget allocation for interpreters, and traditionally what we saw as a reimbursable expense has turned into what is recommended to be a allocation model, but the expenses are there. And I think that if in fact there is money that is viewed as a slight surplus to what we typically hold in this account, it seems very appropriate for us to make those monies available so courts don't have to take monies out of their general fund, their court's general fund, to cover those expenses. And I think that's one of the reasons why we had approached this particular issue in trying to not hurt courts, but actually to assist while we have some capacity to do so. So that was something that we felt was necessary to do. The other aspect of it relates to the importance of expanding the participation in this working group. And here's the reason. We originally had looked at the interpreter usage resource, which is CICDS, which I think represents court interpreter tracking tool, let's just call it that. I can't remember the precise description of that acronym. But what we found is that many courts don't use that particular tool for scheduling purposes. And it is extremely cumbersome. Now, courts are required to report interpreter usage every year, and I think everybody does that, but they also do that using different instruments. And while we were looking at the tool, CIDIX, I think it's commonly referred to, as being a potential resource to determine court's interpreter needs, it is very time consuming, and courts like Orange use a different resource to do the scheduling, but also to do the reporting to meet the required reporting requirements that exist. And until we can identify the appropriate mechanism to do the reporting of interpreters and recognizing some of the challenges that courts of all sizes have in tracking interpreter usage and scheduling, we felt it was very important for the subcommittee or the participants in this work activity to be expanded so that we can consider the many challenges that courts face in scheduling and keeping track of expenses as well as the interpreters that we have. So I said a lot, but it just is really to emphasize the level of complexity that this particular issue had in making sure that we can move forward with an approach that is recognizing all of the challenges that we have.
Great, David. And we do appreciate that. I noted Nancy wanted to speak, and I saw Sherry Carter had her hand up. Nancy, did you have a question?
Thank you, Judge Conklin. Now, I actually have two questions. First, I wanted to thank the working group and FMS for puzzling through the best way to allocate the shortages that continue in this fund. And I support the recommendations that are before us today. But I did have two questions, and that is, do we kind of have an idea of what the estimated expenditures are through the end of this fiscal year so that we have an idea if there even will be an allocation to those courts that are planning on spending over their allotment? And to the extent that we do have some estimates on that, for housekeeping purposes, have we thought about how we're going to allocate that then?
Cottrell, do you have at least the information on the first question about just at least a thought of the money that might still be out there?
Right, so it is a little early, but we can confidently project that at the moment, most trial courts will spend less than the allocated funds distributed through the monthly distribution. So I guess that's kind of a long way of saying we expect savings. The exact amount of savings, we won't know, but unless courts ramp up significantly between now and the end of the fiscal year, we're expecting a lot of available money to reimburse those courts that may have spent more than their allocation this fiscal year.
So stated from the other side, do we have an estimate about in the courts that may have spent more than their allocation, or is it too early for that?
So I'll just add, we shared these numbers at FMS at the meeting, and as Cottrell said, to reiterate, these are point in time, it's still early. But Nancy, just to give you some context, at that time, the courts underspending were underspending at about 8 million, where the courts in need were at about 400,000. So quite enough at that point in time to cover that overage, but we are monitoring this regularly.
Thank you.
Sure.
Sherry, did you have a question?
I don't have a question. I was also part of the working group, and I don't have a lot to add to what David said, but I do want to just emphasize that we are going to be looking at a workload-based formula. That is what we have committed to as a trial court budget advisory committee, that we would find ways to allocate money on workload, and that is why we needed to find a way to measure what that workload would be. So for those courts that have historically been underfunded, and like so many of these historical methods that we're trying to get rid of, this is another opportunity for us to actually do it right. So if we look for silver linings in the pandemic, this may be one of them, where we have some breathing room to actually assess how we can gauge it. Probably for the CEOs who are on the call, it'll be something that we will require from your case management systems, most likely. So, you know, those are the kinds of things that we really need to get to, so that we don't continue to perpetuate allocation formulas that are not based on the actual workload and need. Thank you.
That's very helpful as well. And as I don't want to oversimplify it, and Sherry just stated it as a silver lining, but I also think it's accurate to portray this as this funds are still very limited and probably not sufficient. The only thing that COVID's allowed us to do is keep our nose slightly above water rather than drowning. So this problem is going to be one, I think Sherry just touched on that we're going to have to be aggressive about solving, but at least for now we have a little bit of a pause. Is that sort of accurate, David and Sherry?
Yes, that's a very accurate description.
I think that is right. And I do think that it will take all of us to understand that as we become more reliant on data, we are going to have to just make sure that the CEOs understand that for us to start really allocating correctly, there will be more and more requirements. And so that's, again, why our committee decided we needed to include additional CEOs from other courts to help us understand what some of those requirements would look like.
Judge Conklin, this is Chad. Can I ask Cottrell a quick question?
Oh, absolutely.
So it's about recommendation one. So the last part of the recommendation is, so remaining funds revert to the TCTF as restricted program funding. Does that, sorry if this is a really basic question, does that mean that those funds could then be available in 21-22? Or where do they, I think I know the answer, but just to be clear.
No, that is a really good question, but I think that is something that is still being worked out within the ad hoc interpreter subcommittee. And that's probably something that will continue to be discussed once we add more ad hoc interpreter subcommittee members. But that's a great question. I don't think there has been a definitive answer or conclusion on that one yet.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and Chad, just to echo it, it's still a bit early. You know, we're still looking at this year and the changes with the pandemic, not quite sure what next year will look like. But it could be that there is a increased need for funding next year, to which we would go back through the process to see how to allocate the funding. What's exciting is that there's a possibility to have some money set aside in this fund balance, and we haven't been in this position in a number of years. So.
Right. No, that's why. Well, when you talked about those tentative numbers about, you know, how far over, and yeah, you know, I was like, well, it would be nice to potentially start a year with a fund balance for the tsunami we all know is eventually coming.
Yeah, exactly right.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Chad.
All right, any other comments from any ad hoc members or any questions from the committee as a whole concerning the three recommendations set out? All right, pausing, waiting, haven't heard any. Is there a motion to concerning those three recommendations?
So this is Sherry Carter, and I would move that we approve the recommendations.
Sherry, thank you so much. Is there a second?
This is David Yamasaki. I would second Sherry's motion.
All right. It's been moved and seconded that the three recommendations set forth in the report be approved. Any further comment or questions on the motion? Paused. I've waited. I hear none. Is there any opposition or at this point, pardon me, any opposition to the three recommendations, or is anybody abstaining? I hear no opposition, no abstentions, and therefore, as the chair, I will deem the three recommendations unanimously approved. Thank you all once again to the FMS members, the ad hoc subcommittee members. As typical, a lot of the work, so much of the work is done before we come to this meeting that makes these meetings so much more manageable. And as the chair, I really appreciate that. So thank you so very much. We do have one more item. This is an informational item. Fran, thank you so much for joining us. I've asked Fran to sort of give us an update on the proposed budget, recognizing, as we all know, that anything could change between now and then, but there was a substantial development regarding some substantial funds. And so, Fran, I'll let you take it over.
Thank you very much, Judge Conklin. Good afternoon, members, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here this afternoon and give you just a very brief update on the 2021-22 governor's budget. So I'll just put a little bit of background in so we kind of know where we are with the budget, and then I'll talk about this major update with kind of new funding proposal that the governor and the legislative leaders announced. So for background, the current year budget includes a $200 million ongoing general fund reduction for the judicial branch, and this has required the trial courts to adjust operations to continue court services. So since the 2020 budget was enacted, the state's economic outlook and revenue forecast have greatly improved. For the first 7 months of this fiscal year, starting in July, state receipts are up more than $10.5 billion over the budget forecast. So the revenue increases are essentially attributable to a less severe economic downturn than expected and a very strong stock market performance. So in January, the governor presents his budget to the legislature. It's a $227 billion annual spending plan. It's the largest state budget in the history of the state. So moving forward, in response to the pandemic and the improved condition of the state general fund, in February 17th, the governor and legislative leaders announced an immediate action agreement. It's a $9.5 billion economic stimulus package that provides relief to Californians experiencing pandemic hardship. So this package is an augmentation to the budget that the governor released in January. So the agreement includes stimulus checks to low-income families, help for small businesses, and financial aid for low-income students. Those pieces are all current year proposals. The package also restores $857 million in previously enacted cuts to certain state entities. Included in that is the judicial branch. So what this proposal would do is fully restore the $200 million reduction to the branch effective July 1st, 2021. And this requires action by the legislature. It's still a proposal at this point in time. So of that $200 million restoration, $176.9 million is for the trial courts. And it includes $167.8 million that is directly allocated to the courts for support of trial court operations. It includes $1.3 million for support of trial court operations. And this is essentially to reimburse trial courts for eligible costs for various programs. That amount is not allocated to the courts. And then the remaining $7.8 million is the general fund transfer to the Improvement and Modernization Fund. And again, it's for support of trial court operations, but not allocated directly to the courts. I also want to point out that the proposed restoration is in addition to the $72.2 million ongoing general fund included in the proposed budget to provide the trial courts a 3.7% increase in funding for general trial court operations. So budget negotiations are ongoing with the legislature and with stakeholders. We had our first budget hearing on the Senate side for judicial branch proposals on February 18th, and the Assembly Budget Subcommittee hearing is scheduled for March 15th. We'll continue to keep the committee apprised as the budget progresses this year. That concludes the update, and I'm happy to address any questions.
Fran, thank you very much.
That was
very helpful. Any questions for Fran about these updates? Okay. Well, it's good. It's good to hear good news for a change.
It is good.
And let's hope that good news continues. I know there's so many moving pieces, but at least for the moment, they're moving in a good direction for a change. So that's good to hear. And thank you so much. So folks, that gets us through our agenda today. I hope you're not disappointed that it's only 12:30. We can stay for another half hour if anybody wants to talk about anything else, but I know you're all so very busy. I appreciate your time. Again, as so much work goes into this before we meet, and to those that have completed that work to make our job as easy as it was today, we appreciate that. Anything else for the good of the order? For those that are on the line for the FPS meeting, we cannot advance it from 1 o'clock because it's a publicly posted meeting. So it'll be telephonic at 1 o'clock. We'll get right back together. Hopefully it'll be as brief as this one was. Rebecca, our vice chair, with my thanks to you for actually doing all the work and letting me do all the talking. Anything you want to add?
Actually, I would credit all the work to Brandy, Fran, Cottrell, Kristen, the staff. They've done a great job. It makes my life super easy. Thank you.
I echo that comment. All right, everybody, stay well, be healthy. And again, let's hope to all be together in the same room sometime in 2021. Thanks again so very much. Brandy, when's our next meeting?
Our next meeting is going to be in April, a date to be determined.
Great. All right. Thank you all very, very much.
Thanks.
Stay
everyone.
Healthy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.